Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I believe Paul is letting us know here in 1 Corinthians 15 that he knew who he was and he knew why he was who he was, knowing who you are and why. I guess something greatly concerns me as a pastor, how many people are affected by the way others live. How many people are affected by the circumstances of life. How many people are affected in the way they live and the things they do and the things they don't do by the situation that they find themselves in and how others affect them. That troubles me. It bothers me, rather, that people cannot regulate their lives and serve the Lord and do the will of God for their life, amen, regulated by what God has done for them and what God has done in them. That's what Paul is saying in verse number 10. Paul is saying, what I've done, the labor that I've bestowed, the labor that I have accomplished, and the things that I have done is a result of the grace of God that I have in my life. He said, there was a time when God saved me by his grace. I was lost and undone. We're told in these verses that Paul persecuted the church. And so the apostle Paul, amen, was lost and separated from God and a sinner bound by the cords of sin. Yeah, he was wrapped up in religion, but Paul was lost and undone without the Lord Jesus. And in that, on the Damascus Road, a great light shone to Paul. He was pricked in his heart. He was under conviction. And God dealt with his soul about the condition that he was in. And it was that glorious day in Paul's life that Paul, by faith, reached out and trusted Christ and repented of his sin. And the marvelous gospel of the Lord Jesus, amen, changed the apostle Paul's life, gave him life, praise God, turned him around, amen. He was a persecutor of the church, and now he would be one of the greatest church planters that the New Testament would ever know, amen. Amen. He had reviled and ridiculed and mocked the things of God, and now he would be one that would earnestly contend for the faith and defend the Bible and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, when we look at his labor and how God had turned him around and all the things that Paul is doing for the glory of God, in these verses he reminds us that everything that he's done and everything that he's accomplished, yea, the very root of who he is, revolves around the grace of God that was bestowed upon the apostle Paul. I tell you a great message that you could take from this verse and preach it, and that's not my thought today, on the bestowing of God's grace. Some of you men ought to take that thought and look at it in your own life and prepare a message on it, on the grace of God being bestowed in vain. Paul said, the grace that God gave me when he saved me by his grace was not bestowed upon me in vain. For he labored abundantly in the will of God, knowing who you are. Do you know who you are this morning? Take an inventory of the condition that your soul is in today. Take a real close look at your Christian life. Take a real close look at your spirituality. And ask yourself this question, do I really know who I am? Paul knew who he was. And Paul knew why he was what and who he was. I don't want to try to confuse you this morning, but I want to try, if I can, to deal with some things I believe that's very important. Let me give you six thoughts from this verse, and then I'll get to my message if the Lord will help me. First of all, when we look at verse number 10, I believe we find out that this is a personal matter. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Paul didn't look at anyone else around him. Paul did not concern himself with the churches and the condition that they were in, nor did Paul take into consideration anybody that was laboring with him or around him or was doing a ministry of any sort. Paul said, this thing with my walk with God is about me and God. It's about me. It's about me. Are you listening to me? This is disturbing to me. As 25 years of pastoring, amen, this same church, I've dealt with people through those 25 years who have seemingly been greatly affected by the way others live, how they act, what they do, and what they do not do. There was a man in the Bible that was truly troubled and affected by what someone else was going to do. And God said, you need to concern yourself with your life and what I've told you to do and be very concerned about the will of God for your life. I'd be the first to admit that many people get hurt by the actions and the things that others do. And I'll get to that in just a moment. But you're going to have to understand this morning that living for God, even though we're a part of the body, living for God is an individual thing. Amen. It's a personal matter. And you will live for God. And you will stand in account before God. And it's you. It's not you and your brother. It's not you and your sister. It's not you and your wife. It's not you and your husband. It's not you and the preacher. It's not you and the deacons. It's not you and the Sunday school department. It's just you. Paul said, this is about me and God and no one else. Amen. It's a personal matter. Amen. What about Abel and Cain? Abel came. Cain came. But they wasn't sharing in the same worship. Just Abel. What about Noah? Preacher of righteousness. Just loaded the ark up with his wife and sons and their wives. Preached 120 years. Pretty lonely seemingly. It's a personal matter. You and God is. The Bible said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What about Abraham? Nobody else was called out of the air of the Chaldees but Abraham. God made a covenant with Abraham. Abraham didn't have a big crowd with him. There were some that came with him. I understand that. But this is about Abraham. What about Joseph? What if Joseph's Christian life and his walk with God was affected by the relationships that he had? His brother sold him into slavery, lied about him. His daddy thinks he's dead. But Joseph, standing alone, day after day, stands for God, stands for righteousness, and is faithful to serve God. What about Joseph? Did Joseph have reason to quit? Did Joseph have reason to let up? Did Joseph have a reason, amen, to convince his own heart and mind that it wasn't worth it? What about, is anybody listening? What about Jeremiah, the weeping prophet? What about Daniel? He purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. Amen. What about John? All of them's running around there, doubting, running their mouth, and John's on the bosom of the Lord. What about the apostle Paul? Amen. All men forsook me, he said. All men forsook me. Demas hath forsaken me. He said, oh, Alexander the coppersmith hath done me much evil. All men have forsook me. Demas hath forsaken me. It's a personal matter living for God is. And I'm afraid some of you hadn't got there. Living for God's a personal matter. I want my wife to live for God. Amen. I want my wife to be faithful to the Lord. But I'm telling you, amen, Job's wife didn't serve God. But Job served the Lord. Are you listening to me? Are you listening? There's a lot of people in this Bible, their children didn't do right, but they stayed faithful. It's a personal matter. I am what I am by the grace of God. May I say it's a present matter. I am what I am. It's about right now. It's not about yesterday and it's not about tomorrow. It's about right now in your life. I am what I am by the grace of God. Are you listening to me? Where you stand with God this morning? What's on your mind? What's on your heart? Amen. God working in your life and you prayed, felt the presence of God. It's the word of God. Been a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. Are you doing something for Jesus? Well, preacher, let me tell you what happened to me when I was a boy. Really not interested in what happened to you when you was a boy. I'm more interested in what's going on in your world right now. Because you can't go undo the past. You can't relive the past. You can't live in the past. You can't live in tomorrow. Tomorrow may never get here. The sun may never shine again. But you have today to serve God. You have right now, amen, to wake up and realize where you're at and what you're going to do for the glory of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. It's about right now. I tell you what, I don't mind reminiscing about the past. Amen. I don't mind going back and thought about it this week about men that have been used to affect my life. Brother James Jones will be with us this upcoming week. He'll be preaching on Wednesday night. And Brother James is a great man of God. And God used him when I was a young man, just getting in the ministry, just been surrendered to preach. God used him in a great way to be a great blessing to me. And I thank God for his faithfulness and for his family and for the church there in Harriman. And I praise the Lord for him. Amen. And I thought about the days that we were in camp meeting together just this week. I thought about those days we worshiped together, but I'm going to tell you what, I can't live in those days. I can't go back and stay there. There's a world that needs God right now. There's a world, amen, that needs a child of God to stand up and contend for the faith and to be faithful to the Lord Jesus. There's a world right now that needs somebody to serve God. I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. I believe there's a position in this verse. Paul said, I am what I am. It's personal. I am what I am. It's present right now. I am what I am by the grace of God. That's a position. Amen. God has something for you to do. God has something for your life. God has something that you can do for the glory of the Lord. God has something that he wants your life, amen, involved in. And you will do that. And you cannot allow who you are and what you are to be regulated by the people around you nor the circumstances that come to pass in your life. You will either live for God and stay faithful to God because of God and God's grace, or you're not gonna make it. Amen. There's a possession. You possess the grace of God. Paul said that this grace was not bestowed upon him in vain. Paul had the grace of God. He said, I know God's given me grace to stand. I know that God's given me grace to be faithful. I know that God's given me grace to stand and preach the truth. I know that God's given me grace. And he says, I'm going to tell you something. Men have failed me and people have fallen by the wayside. But I possess the grace of God. And God forbid that that grace would be bestowed upon me in vain. But I'd take that grace and I'd utilize that grace. I'd embrace that grace. I'd reach out and grab that grace and serve God with it today. There's a prosperity in this verse. Not only is it personal, present, a position, there's a possession, the grace of God. There's a prosperity in this verse. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God. You have the opportunity to excel. The Apostle Paul is nothing unusual. He is just one human being that got saved by the grace of God, that utilized the grace of God that was bestowed in his life. And he grabbed that grace that God gave him and he bottled it up in his soul and in his mind. And he said, I will live for God. I will fulfill the commission that God has put on my heart to fulfill. I will stand for righteousness. I will stand for truth. I will be faithful and I will love God, but it will not be me. It will be the grace of God that is in me. Amen. And there's a production in the midst of it all. There's a prosperity. But yes, there's something that's produced in this verse. He said, this grace of God is not vain that's been bestowed upon me, but there's a work been done through it. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. Who are you right now? Who are you right now? Are you man enough to admit who you are right now? Is anybody in this building honest enough to admit who they are and what they are right now and then try to consider why? I want to ask you another question, if you can, for just a second. Who you are right now, has God got anything to do with it at all? God got anything to do with who you are, Willie, this morning? What you are? Does God have any, are you listening to me today? Does God have anything to do with the condition you're in today? I'm talking about God. That's who I'm talking about. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He didn't say, I am what I am because of the support of the church in Antioch or Jerusalem. He didn't say, I am what I am because of my friendship with the Apostle Peter. He didn't say, I am what I am because of my love and friendship with Barnabas. He didn't say, I am what I am for the glory of God because a good mom and daddy raised me in the faith or because I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He said, I'm not what I am today because of anything that I've seen or done. I am what I am today by the grace of God. What motivates you? What moves you? What manipulates your life? I'm going to tell you what, you are revealed. What reveals who you are this morning? There's several things that I could say, but I'm going to tell you who you are today is revealed by your doings. Amen. Who you are this morning is revealed by the things you do. Are you listening to me today? Who you are this morning is revealed by the things you do. Paul said in Philippians 3, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, the things that I do in my life revolve around not the past, but the present situation and the fact that I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. Paul said, I'm interested in doing the will of God today. I may have failed yesterday. I may have sinned yesterday. And I've got that under the blood and I've made it right with God. And I put those things behind me and I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. My past is behind me and my future is before me, but my present situation stares me in the face and the question is posed, what am I going to do with the day? Your doings. Paul here in this verse tells us that he labored more abundantly. Paul was a working man. Paul was about the Father's business. Are you listening to me? Paul said to the church at Corinth, he said, therefore be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's the problem. Some of you have never got involved in the work of the Lord. You got involved in the work of the church. You got involved in the work of the preacher. You got involved in the work of the school. You got involved in the work of the prison, the work of the youth detention ministry. You got involved in nursing home work. You've got involved in a lot of things, but you never have equated that involvement to be the work of God. That's why your spiritual life and your labor for God and the things you do are nothing but a roller coaster ride for your life. It's because you're regulated by the circumstances and the companions that you have rather than finding yourself and opening up your heart to the work of God. Amen. Pardon for a personal illustration, would you? Pardon me for one. You wasn't here when I came. You wasn't here when I came here. Fact of the matter is, even though the Pleasant View Baptist Church put their blessing on me, and Brother Raines, amen, commissioned us and sent us out, if he had had his choice, he would have tried to have kept our family there because we were involved in the ministry. So even though they were, you know, were for what we were doing because it was the will of God. Is everybody with me? My wife never said one word about coming to Breckenridge County 24 years ago. But I'm sure if she would have sat down and you would have said, we want you to tell us what you want to do, and whatever you tell us, we're going to make that happen. She'd say, well, I'd like to move in this new house that we built. We never have moved in, and raise our family here at Pleasant View Baptist in Taylor's and serve the Lord right here, and God use us so we can be with our family and our friends. So I don't know, even though she was supportive, I don't know that I could say in a spiritual realm that I didn't come here because of my wife, is what I'm trying to say. My wife wasn't pushing me to come here. My pastor wasn't pushing me to come here. Is anybody listening to me? Nobody, John, no one, not one person on this earth was compelling me to come to Breckenridge County. Nobody. No one, nowhere. Except the Spirit of God that indwelt my soul. I've had people text me and send me messages and talk to me, and I appreciate it. And it you can get discouraged, and I understand that, and face doubt. And they'd say, preacher, I know we've seen people leave that you poured your life into, you preached to, and you've seen them get in sin. I know it can be discouragement to you, and I know that it can cause you a lot of doubt. And basically what they're trying to say in a roundabout way, Brother Craig, they're trying to say, but we love you, and there's still some people living for God here. Preacher, don't quit. And I appreciate that. But I didn't start because of you.
Right. Yes, sir.
And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not being a smart aleck, arrogant, or mean. I ain't quitting because of you neither.
That's right.
Amen. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, Brother Kevin. But I mean, that's my son-in-law, and that's my daughter wasn't supportive of us coming here. She was just a little kid. She was just going with mom and daddy. She's not the one that caused me to come here. She didn't have anything to do, Brother Adam, with me getting to Kentucky. Is anybody listening to me? I love everybody in this building. I said that you were in Sunday school and wrote every one of your names down in the back of this Bible right here. I'm kind of changing the way I'm doing things. Had a prayer list separate, and I'm going to start writing down everybody's name starting the beginning of the year and just start preaching out of another Bible all every first of the year, and just putting everybody's name down in here. If they've been to church, I mark them out in red and say why they have it, and I'm going to put it in there for the history of the church. And I sat in there and wrote every one of you's name down in this Bible today. I prayed for you all this week, and I love you with all my heart. And I'd go to the farthest part of this world to rescue you if I had to, if you was in trouble. But I'm not going to quit serving God on account of you. Amen. I'm serving the Lord, Brother Thren. Miss Allison, it's about the grace of God that's in my heart. Why are you here? If you're here because of Him, there may be a time that He's not here. What are you going to do? I'm not here because David Wells is here. I'm not here because Rick Voles is here. Amen. Rick was here when I came, but he's lost and undone without God. I've seen him get saved, seen his wife get saved, see his family in the house of God. I baptized them. Thank God for it. And I praise the Lord. Amen. But they wasn't here when I got here. They're not the reason I came. I came here because God, amen, dealt with my heart about coming. And it changed your life this morning, young man and young lady, if you'd walk out into the world to serve God because of the grace of God that's been bestowed upon you. A man seen in his doings. You listening to me? I've invested a lot of time and a lot of effort in preaching in the lives of people in this church. And I'm not saying you leaving wouldn't hurt me. It wouldn't discourage me. It wouldn't depress me. It wouldn't cause me to doubt. But I'm telling you, I determined in my heart, long before I ever came, that I was going to serve the Lord. And I want to serve God because of who God is and what God has done in my heart and life. And if you will do the same, amen. Preacher, I don't understand it. I can't understand a lot of. I've seen the best fall. Amen. Who are you this morning? You can tell by what you're doing. You can tell by what your desires are. The Apostle Paul had a desire for the Lord. He said, that I may know him. Some of you are more interested in going home and trying to figure out who's going to win the ball game today. I didn't even know who was playing in the ball game till last night. I asked my wife, I said, by the way, who is playing in the Super Bowl? You'd have held a gun to my head and couldn't tell you. I couldn't have told you. I couldn't have. And I wasn't trying, I didn't be ignorant of it so I could stand here this morning and say that. Well, preacher, you don't like football. I probably played more football than any three or four of you put together in this building. Played all the way through school. Amen. Ever since I think I was in the fifth or sixth grade, I played football every year. Started on three or four all-star games. Married a varsity cheerleader, Greer High School, AAA ball. Amen. I like football. But there come a time in my life when the grace of God was bestowed upon me. Amen. Amen. And I'll do anything with you. You've heard me say that before. I like everything. If you want to fish, I'll go fishing with you. I'll do whatever you want to do. Go bowling with you. Shoot a bow. Go hunting. It don't make any difference. Whatever you want to do, I like it. Amen. If you want to drink coffee black, I can drink it black. If you want to put cream and sugar in it, I can drink it with cream and sugar. It don't matter to me which way you do it. Amen. I'll eat a steak well done or rare. It don't matter. It just don't matter to me. I'll eat it. I got some preferences, but I ain't so picky that I can't fellowship with you on any kind of ground. As long as it ain't sinful.
Amen.
Like going to a hockey game or something like that. Amen. Amen. Anything God be all right with, I'm all right with it. Amen. But you'll find out who you are by the things you do.
Amen.
By the desires that you have. Here's what Paul said, that I may know him. And the power of his resurrection. Fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul said, I'm going to tell you what my desires are. I want to know more about him. I want to walk with God. I want the power of God in my life. There come a time in my life, amen, that I had to pull away from some friends. There's a time in my life, I'm talking about good boys, they church going boys, and they love God. They're deacons in the church now. But there come a time when I was going down a totally different road than they were going down. I had to quit doing the things they were doing, going the places they were going. I'm telling you, Willie, I wanted to know something more about God than I'd ever known in my life. I wanted to move closer to the Lord. I wanted to serve God. And I'm telling you, my desires were changed toward him. You ever had a desire toward God? You feed your mind and your flesh on Hollywood and the things of this world, the ungodly things in this world, and it snatched the very thirst that you've ever had for the things of God away from your soul. Who are you? Do you know who you are this morning? And why you are who you are. You can tell who a man is by his doings. Tell who a man is by his desires. Paul had a desire for the lost. Paul had a desire to see sinners saved. If you're here this morning lost, there's no greater joy that could come to this church than to see you born again this morning.
Amen.
Saved by the grace of God. You can tell who a man is by his direction. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord in all thy ways, or lean not thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. Where are you headed? Where are you going? You trying to draw near to God? The decisions you're making for your life, are they going to draw you closer to the work and the labor and the service of God? Are they taking you farther away from God? There's nothing wrong with asking yourself that question this morning.
Amen.
The things I'm doing with my life, the things that I'm doing with this vessel that God has given and bestowed grace in, did he do it in vain? It would be vain if I took this vessel down a path of life that would take me away from the will of God, that would draw me away from the things of God, that would rob me from a walk with God. Who are you anyway? Who are you, Bradley Cole? And why are you who you are?
Why?
Caleb, who are you, son? And why? Paul said, I am what I am, son, by the grace of God. You understand that? I am what I am, Brother Keith, by the grace of God. It's a very personal matter. It's a present matter. And the direction that I carry my life lets me know and those around me just who I am. It's appalling to me that everybody around, it would be appalling to me if everybody around me knowed more about who I was than I did. I'm talking about everybody can stand back and say, what's wrong with him? What's his problem? What's her problem? Where's her mind at? What's she doing with her life? What's going on in her world? And they're playing a game. You are who you are. And there's a reason why you are. And I'm not trying to make a riddle. I'm trying to preach a message. Amen. You can tell a man who he is by his determination. Paul said, I determine one thing among you. One thing. Amen. And that's Christ and him crucified. Amen. He settled that. What kind of determination do you have? Paul said, I am determined. Christ and him crucified. Demas had forsook him. All men had forsook him. He had been beat. He had been left alone. But he said, I am what I am right now by the grace of God. I'm sure Paul was discouraged when Demas left. I'm sure it bothered his heart. I'm sure it broke his heart. I'm sure he wept over Demas. But Paul was determined to serve the Lord, because he wasn't serving God because of Demas. He was serving God because of the grace of God that was... Am I making any sense this morning? When people quit and fall out and get worldly and get cold and get callous, 99.9% of the time, that is a result of them involving themselves in something that's not real nor motivated by the right power. Paul finished his course. And he didn't have a big crowd around him when he finished out either. What's it going to be like if everybody's like you?
Amen.
Amen. I could call names from right here all the way around this building of people that sat down and talked with me whose life as a child of God was affected by the choices, the actions, the behavior, and the way others in this church has lived. But I don't understand how come it gets you out away from God and it never has bothered me any. I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm trying to prove a point. I don't understand, Brother Kevin, if Brother David gets out of the will of God and he just so happened to be one teaching Sunday school when you got under conviction and got saved, and he just leaves the church and gets out of the will of God, and you quit reading your Bible and you quit praying, and I ask you, what's wrong with you, Kevin? You're a deacon. You have a responsibility in this church. Why are you cold? Why are you living worldly? Why is things in your life? And you say, Brother David's choices, I'm telling you, I've seen him in this church, seen him serving the Lord. He just left and he's quit and he's in a mess. And I'm telling you, preacher, it's just got me so down I can't serve God. I'm going to say, why am I still serving the Lord then? I mean, if everybody's going to be affected by the choices of everybody, where that's going to leave us in the end?
Right?
Right?
Yes, sir, you're right.
Amen.
Determined, Brother Joe, to serve the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, I love my wife. If she left tonight and never came back, I'm going to be limited in what I can do, but I'm telling you now, I made my mind up to serve God. It's the grace of God that's in me.
Amen. Amen.
I am what I am by the grace of God. I think it's very important that you know who you are and you know why. That's the point I'm trying to make. I think it's very important that you know who you are and you know why. Because it may be this morning that the condition you are in is a result of no grace in your life. It's a good possibility around this world today that there are a lot of people that know nothing of the grace of God. You listening to me? Nothing of the grace of God. The last thing is this. Paul was determined. Your determination is going to unveil to us who you are. And then Paul, what he delighted in. He delighted in the law of God after the inward man, he said in Romans. Paul said, there's something inside me that longs to please and honor God and serve the Lord. I am what I am because of what's in me, the grace of God that was bestowed upon me. I serve Him. I love Him. I walk with Him. I honor Him. I'm faithful to Him. Paul says, all of those things are a reality. Because of what I delight in. If you're not careful, the devil will offer you the enjoyment. The devil will offer you the enjoyment that sin brings and the pleasures of this world. If you're not very careful, the devil will paint a picture of sin and the world. He will paint a picture so enticing that you'll think that you can conquer it. And no man in the history of humanity has ever found satisfaction in this world. No man. No man has ever fulfilled his dreams in the world. No man has ever used the things of this world to satisfy the longing in his soul. The longing and the delight in man's soul is only seen and is only known when the grace of God is moving and motivating him to do the will of the Lord. Who are you this morning, right now, not yesterday? Who are you this morning and why? Well, preacher, here's where I'm at, and this is the reason why. Okay, and I'll listen to it. I'll listen to the names. I'll listen to the valley. And I'll listen to the storms. And I'll listen to the heartache. And I'll listen to the loss. And I'll listen. And when you're finished, you're still who you are. The only way that you're going to be able to be where the Apostle Paul is when the reasoning behind your position in Christ revolves around the grace of God that was bestowed upon you.
Amen.
When I got right with God, I had worked with a company when I wasn't right with God. I did everything they did. I talked the way they talked. I dressed the way they dressed. I did the things that they did. Everything they did, I was a part of. I left that company and went into another field of vocation. And after a period of time, God called me to preach. And the job that I had was not going to work with the call of God on my life. So I was going to Bible college and I was fixing to enter into school and I needed a job. and the company that I had worked for when I wasn't right with God for those years offered me a position. It's kind of a unique situation. I stepped into that district office and looked at the same secretaries, the same staff managers, the same district managers, and the same agency force. And they knew what I was and who I was before. And there was nobody else there that was a child of God and believed what I believed but me. Is anybody listening? Was nobody there? Those people didn't know anybody I went to church with. I could still live the same way, act the same way, talk the same way, do all those things I did before, and nobody would have ever known it. But there was something in me that was different. Brother David Jones, who served as a deacon at Pleasant View Baptist Church for all those years, I talked to him just yesterday. His family living for God worked in that office. And the difference God made in my life made a difference in his life. There was some conflicts, some situations, some strainful atmospheres. But there was a difference. I didn't need Mike Grubbs working beside of me, amen, to help me stand for God. Those were professional men and they were wicked. But I didn't have to have a support group there.
Right.
I had the support group in here.
Amen.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost was plenty enough.
Amen.
Now, I don't understand. I tell you what, it disturbs me. And I really don't understand how come folk can't stand. They got to have all this support, all this help. I'm going to tell you what, Noah didn't have it. Joseph didn't have it.
Amen.
Daniel didn't have it. He had God in his soul. I think it's very important this morning for you to know who you are and why. You think about the kind of life you're living right now and the condition your soul is in. The only way that anything is going to change is if you experience the grace of God. And you can this morning. God can change your life today.